Good morning. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew 22, verse 34 through 40. Matthew 22, 34 through 40. But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered themselves together. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets." The rabbis, let's pray. Father God, we just thank you so much for this morning. Thank you that we can come and just gather together as a body, Lord. And we just thank you that we can hear your word. God, we just pray that your Holy Spirit will just guide us this morning, that we can just, just be able to seek you and see you and hear what you have to share with us today. In your name we pray, amen. And so when we read this, one of the reasons earlier this week, I was thinking about what to share today, because I've been sharing every Thursday, but this will be the last Thursday I share for a while, you know, passing it on to somebody else. But I just finished a book. So like, I don't want to start a new book. So what is it, God, what should I share? And I really got this idea of love. And I think it's because I think during this last even year and a half, I think especially Hong Kong, but now the entire world, we're trying to wrestle what it means to love. You know, and we're seeing so many things on the news about our personal rights and what's going on with COVID and different protests in different places in the world. And there's really this question of what does it mean to love? You know, I was thinking, how do we show love? And then, because my family, my immediate family were very in line with each other, but my extended family is quite polarizing in their beliefs. And so even just reading, I've had to unfollow some of them on Facebook. I don't defriend them because that causes more drama, but I just don't want to see what they're posting. And there's just so many diverging thoughts about everything in the world. And it's like, how do I, even looking at my cousins, how do I love them with what they say is just so idiotic? What they're saying is just not, like they're talking about it from a Christian perspective, and yet when you hear it, there's no love in what they're saying. There's no heart of God in what they're saying. And so this verse came to my mind, right? And especially the second part. You know, when we look at this, the rabbis came up with 613 commandments that the Israelites were supposed to follow, right? And then they made them into almost a hierarchy of greater and lesser value, and then eventually a lot of them neglected or failed to follow these laws. But here, Jesus perfectly understanding what the essence of the law is, he has zero difficulty describing what the law is, what is the greatest commandment. And he does it in such a way, there's no order, except for loving God, there's no order of priority. He's not saying one is greater than the other. He basically takes the Ten Commandments and he breaks them into two. Love God, love others, right? And when you look at the Ten Commandments, the first four would go under the love God, and the second six would go under loving others, right? Jesus is making it very clear. He's not saying one is greater than the other like had been done. Right, but then how do we practically live out those commandments? This idea of love, like we've been hearing a lot of this, love, love, but then what do we actually do? See, the law was not a list of rules, but a guide of life. You know, in Romans, Paul talks about the law itself is not sin. The law itself showed him the sin of his life, right? In Romans, Paul's saying the law, the commandments showed that I am a sinner. You're already a sinner, but the law revealed it. The law made him become more aware of it. And in that awareness, he understood how much more he needed God. You know, the law wasn't meant to be this, like I think about my family, my dad, I think I've shared before, my dad has had only one rule that I can ever think of in my life, right? Honestly, I could have done whatever I wanted. He wouldn't have cared. But I wasn't allowed to get on a motorcycle. That's it. You'd think, I mean, a lot of people have that rule. But when I think about my life, that's literally the only rule he ever placed on us. There was no, when I was at his house, I could stay up as late as I wanted. I could do anything I pretty much still wanted to do. And I didn't do anything that bad because I knew once I went to my mom's house, if I went bad, even though she also didn't have a prescribed list, her policy was if you get in trouble somewhere else, it'll be worse for you at home. And so we knew just follow the rules of everyone else and we would be fine. But these rules were not supposed to be in a way to restrict your life, but to free you so you'd understand that you would see your need for God, right? But it was also a way to protect others. You know, when you think about laws, we don't like laws typically. We don't like rules. But the rules are there not just for yourself, but for the others around you, right? When I taught or even here at church, well, when I taught, we were eventually told we weren't allowed to have rules. They had to be called procedures because rules were bad. I was like, what? Really? Seriously? But we had to call them procedures. It wasn't what you couldn't do. It's how you should do it, right? And so they really eliminated that. The word of rules weren't allowed. We couldn't use them in our classrooms. Everything had to be procedures, right? But in many ways, it's true. You know, God's rules, God's law were procedures for life. How to live in a way that would reflect loving God and loving others. I also think the law reveals our brokenness. You know, when you ever look at something and we see, and it depends. There's some things that are unjust, some things that are just wrong. But when someone in authority is asking something of you, and your heart just start going off in your head, and you're like, what's wrong with this person? Bitterness starts to creep in. In many ways, it reveals your brokenness. It reveals your brokenness, but that actually in and of itself is a good thing. Because if you don't know what your brokenness is, if you don't know where your issues are from, you can't get healing. You can't get healing. You think about God tells us to train up a child well. Part of training a child is giving them guidance. It's about showing them the right way. There's discipline involved, right? And if we never discipline a child, if we never give them guidance, if we never give them rules or procedures, they'll never know truly, unless for a miracle from God, which can happen, how to live, right? It's geared in us to need to have something to guide us, and God, in his lovingness, gives that to us, right? When we look at the law, it wasn't that the law was given, and then they were accepted. They were accepted, and then they got the law. They were accepted, and then they got the law. You know, what does it mean to love our neighbors? What does it mean to love? I was looking up, and I was like trying to figure out, because, you know, I think many of us, if not all of us, have heard you can't love someone until you truly love yourself. You can't love someone until you truly love yourself. However, you can still demonstrate love to someone even if you don't love yourself. But I do believe you need to start loving yourself. What does it mean to love your neighbor? It's to treat them the way you'd want to be treated. I often tell people, well, kids generally, it's not just treating them the way you want to be treated, it's treating them better. It's treating them better than you want to be treated. But I often find sometimes, especially in the Christian world, when we are like doing Christian things, whether it's missions or evangelism or serving at church, we can do it to the detriment of ourselves. You know, here it says, love your neighbor as yourself. God is not asking you to love someone beyond what you yourself need. God's not asking you to basically burn out. You know, somewhere down the line, we get this idea that you just have to give and give and give and give and give. But there's never that moment that we often forget that commandment of Sabbath. It's so important. It's not just about your work, your physical work. It's also about the way you serve. Do you take a Sabbath rest where it's just you and God, or are you always going? I think one of the reasons why I honestly take that very seriously, and I hope my mom never listens to this, but it's because of the terrible example she set about Sabbath rest. She works at a church. Well, she retired from working at a church. And Thursdays were supposed to be her days off. She went into the church almost every single Thursday. She went into the building probably out of 52 weeks, 48 of those weeks, every single day. She never took a break. She never took a break. And honestly, I look at how she went into retirement and it was hard, right? She ended up having emergency surgery, being hospitalized. And I'm not saying it's because she didn't take a Sabbath rest. That's not what I'm saying. But in some ways, it sounds really bad, but I was a little bit thankful to God that God was forcing her to stop. I wish it didn't have to come in that way. I wish it didn't have to come in such a harsh way. But in many ways, it forced her to stop. And then COVID happens, and she's forced to cut ties from going into the building, even just as a personal person, right? And God, I mean, not that any of those things happened, but these are the good things I'm seeing for her personally, that she had to be removed because she would never take it. You know, I see some missionary friends who they burn out. Professional missionaries, right? We're all supposed to be missionaries, but professional missionaries who they're burning out. They're always putting others before themselves. But this commandment is love your neighbor as yourself. As yourself, not above yourself. Right? Now that doesn't mean, you know, the greatest, you know, as in John it says, no greater love than this to lay down your life for a friend. There is this idea of sacrifice. Right? There's this idea of sacrifice. And then other parts of the Bible, it talks about, you know, it's easy to, I'm paraphrasing, but it's easy to love your friend because they love you, but how much do you love someone who doesn't love you, right? That doesn't give that to you. And so you see these different portions of Scripture giving us this understanding of what love is. But love does not mean burning yourself out. And I think sometimes in the Christian world, we can often get confused. We can often think, I need to sacrifice, sacrifice, sacrifice. And God's like, yeah, give up a day. Spend a day with me. You know, it's very challenging, right? Now, that doesn't mean, honestly, my Sabbath rest is not like very godly. It's very Netflix oriented, right? It's very Amazon. I'm really into Amazon Prime TV watching these days. I got a little bored of Netflix. But the reality is we need to carve out that time because we're never going to be able to love somebody truly if we're running out of steam. You know, there's nothing selfish in taking a break. There's nothing selfish from retreating for a period of time. In fact, that's some of the most godly thing you can do. If you look at Jesus' life, what did he do before he started ministry? He retreated. He went away, right? Jesus often would go to the mountains to pray. He would take that time away. And if Jesus, who probably did not actually need to take a break, demonstrated to us the importance of that rest in him, in God, how much more is it important for us? And then the question is, who is our neighbor? And the easiest thing would be say everybody, and I do believe that. But I was reading last night, trying to figure out who our neighbor, you know, like what do people say? And you have all sorts of things. One person said your neighbor's only Christians. And one person said your neighbors are only the people you don't know. And I mean, all sorts of things. There were all sorts of answers on who our neighbor is. But one of the answers I really liked that kind of gets to the heart, I think, of what Jesus was saying here is that our neighbor are those who are in need. Those that are in need physically, spiritually, emotionally, right? Our neighbors are those who are in need. And the reality is everyone is in need of something. Everyone is in need of something, whether it's friendship, whether it's a physical need. You know, my next door neighbor, I've shared about her because she's very special. And I don't mean that in a good way. Like oftentimes, like I won't lie, if I know she's getting out of her apartment, I try to close the lift door quickly. Because sometimes it's just a little too much in the morning to have to process her, and it's not good. It's my bad side, right? She will give toothpicks and bananas and all sorts of, she's special. But she's very loving. I mean, every time she sees to me, she always has a compliment for me. But sometimes in the morning, you just want to just have a peace, right? But it really challenged, how am I demonstrating love to her? She's demonstrating love to me through toothpicks and grapes and very weird things I've gotten from her. But Denver, we never eat it because I won't go into that. But How am I loving her, directly my neighbor? How am I loving the person on the street, that person in need? Do we recognize the need of our brother and sister in the stranger? But how do we actually love? How do we actually love? Because that, I think, is the question we all have. And honestly, I don't know. How do we truly love? I was thinking about when I was in fourth grade, I was really sick one day. See, and this is how much this story, who remembers one day in fourth grade when you're really sick? I was very sick, but my mom didn't believe me. And so I went to school. But I remember the love my teacher showed me that day. Mr. Borkel just came up to me and he put his hand on my back and said, "I know you're not well. It's okay." It didn't take much. And how many years later, I still remember that small action. He saw me, he saw my need, and he comforted me in a very, he wouldn't even remember that action today. But I remember that action, and it wasn't big. You know, and then my mom felt really bad because I came home very sick, throwing up, and then I could get away with any time I didn't feel well, she let me stay home. So, but other times, love. You know, during COVID, when we found out Kat and Chris had it, because I came in contact, I stayed home. And I had so much love. I actually had to tell people to stop trying to bring me stuff, right? Like, one person wanted to come from DB to bring me stuff, and I was like, it's not necessary. There are people who are much closer, right? I had people from church checking in on me every single day to the point where I just wanted to turn up. I said, all right, it's enough. You know, my family, we've never shown so much care for each other, because in 1 week, the entire family had to go into basic lockdown in Cameroon, in Grand Rapids. My New York brother, he was already in lockdown. Here in Hong Kong, literally within 2 days, the entire family in lockdown. And who did we turn to? Each other. And we messaged each other every single day. I listened to my sister-in-law talk for an hour or two on Skype frequently. I don't know what she was talking half the time. But there was this love that was taking place. How do we love our neighbor? By meeting their greatest need. By meeting their greatest need and in that moment. But that takes time to look at ourselves, to recognize what their love is. And I was thinking about, you know, though you don't need to love yourself truly to love somebody else to provide for their needs, but to genuinely love others, you do genuinely need to love yourself, because otherwise it's always coming out of a broken, selfish place. Getting healing is something good. If you are broken, if you are struggling, and guess what? That's all of us. Every single person in this room, every person listening, everyone in this world has some area of their life they're struggling in. It could be small. It could be a small insecurity, right? And learning to work on that, to love yourself, is the greatest gift you can give to yourself and to others. It's something that you, besides giving them Jesus, okay? But truly learning to bring healing into your own life is a way in which we can also demonstrate love for our neighbors. Because otherwise, you think about every time you go out and serve, it becomes so, you can walk how you're going in. What is the heart issue? I still say go and do it, but at the same time, what's going on? What is your struggle? Why is it that when you walk away, you feel even less fulfilled, or it becomes about you? You know, when I was, I don't know, maybe third or second grade, we went to this soup kitchen my church would serve at. It's still in our city. And obviously, all the food was free, right, for the homeless. But coffee cost 10 cents a cup. 10 cents a cup. And I remember during the meeting, when I was like second or third grade, the runners of the group were like, the one thing we asked them to pay for is coffee. Right? We want them to have, I don't remember all they said, but I remember they're like, we just want to pay for coffee. And I still remember there was this old man who came up to the counter and he didn't have even 10 cents in his pocket. And I had 10 cents in my pocket, and the struggle in my heart, I still remember, should I pay or should I not? I didn't pay because I remembered them saying we want them to pay for it. But it's something I remember to this day. And I know looking back, I should have paid the 10 cents for this man's coffee. Right? But there was that internal struggle. And I still, like, Why was I struggling just to give that 10 cents up? Was it the right thing? Was it not? You know, reflecting on it later. And I've done a lot of reflecting. I don't know why, over 10 cents. I've been reflecting a long time in my life. What was the right answer? What was the thing to do? But how we love people sometimes isn't paying the 10 cents also. How we love people is sometimes not always just giving them, right? If you want to know more about that, taking, helping without hurting, right? But the reality is, how are we loving others? And so as Matthew comes up to lead worship, I want us to reflect, who is the person that God is calling us to love? Who is the person in our life that we know of that God wants us? And what is their greatest need? Is it physical? Is it emotional? Is it relational? Is it that person that just drives you nuts, but they need a friend? They genuinely need a friend. Who is it that God is calling you to love this morning? So let's just ask God to reveal that to us today.
Lord, I come.
Lord, I come. And I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. And without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. And every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found, is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. And every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. And teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. And every hour I need you. My one defense, my right. righteousness, oh God, how we need you. Lord, we need you. Oh, we need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how we need you, God. Yes, God, all we need is you. Yes, God, we need you. Our one defense, our righteousness, oh God, how we need you.
As we move into a time of prayer, let's just take time to thank God for all the things he's done for us, all the things he's doing through us, and let's just reflect and give him praise this morning. Let's turn to our prayer focuses. Let's pray for those who are battling cancer, going through chemo and radiation therapy and surgery recovery. Let's just pray for God's healing hands in their lives. Let's pray for those who are battling different illnesses, but also need salvation. Let's just pray for their eyes to be open to God and that their physical needs of healing will also take place. Let's pray for those who are battling various infirmities. I mean, it's a long list, so maybe pick one or two people, maybe names you don't necessarily know or normally pray for. Let's just lift them up to God. Pray for those who are looking for jobs. Let's just pray for God's continued provision in this season of waiting, and let's just pray for God to guide them in the right time into the right place for work. Let's pray for our mission focus. Let's pray for our church plants, SP Singapore, Spin, Spill, and SP New York. Let's just really pray for God's continued guidance for their leaders, for God's to just continue to minister to their members. And just, yeah, we just pray for continued breakthroughs and growth. So after our education ministries, SP Kids, SP Youth, SPU, let's just pray for each of the kids and students to really just draw closer to God. And as we are transitioning all of our kids back in this Sunday, let's just pray that our kids will just be so excited to be here to worship God. Pray for our prayer and healing ministries. Let's just lift up their teams, their leaders, and let's just pray for IP, the well, and the river. Let's lift up our evening outreaches, SP Lights and Homies. Let's just pray that we'll be able to just really make deep connections. And at Homies, I guess it's still suspended, so let's just pray. Let's continue to pray for the poor in this city and for whenever that gets relaunched. So let's lift up our city. Let's just pray for healing in this land. Let's just pray for, yeah, God's just will and God's plan will be revealed and that we can just really love the people in this city. So God, we just thank you for this morning. We just thank you for this day. We thank you that we can just come before you and just rest and find our peace in you, God, that you love us. And out of that love, we can love you and we can love others. God, that it's not out of our own will, our own ability, but God, it's out of the strength in your spirit that lives in us, that we're able to follow what you call us to do. Lord God, we just pray today that you'll show us what you're doing and how we can join you, Lord, that we can see how we can love our neighbor, God, the person on the street, the person at our workplace, God, or the person in our home. God, who is it that you're calling us to love? God, who is it that you're calling us to show grace or mercy or compassion or physical or whatever it may be? God, Lord, we just pray, God, that we will be obedient to whatever it is you're placing in our heart. And Lord, we just thank you, and God, we love you. In your name we pray, amen. Have a great and wonderful rest of your prayer time, and hope to see you tomorrow.